I want to begin our reading at verse 24. Genesis chapter 45, beginning our reading at verse 24. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, See that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. May God add his blessings on the reading and the ministry of his word. God bless you, friends. You may be seated.
For many years, Jacob felt that his son Joseph was dead. He had grieved tremendously over the plight of his son. And now, years later, one day he is absolutely shaken when his sons come and bring him the report, Joseph is yet alive and is governor over the land of Egypt. It seemed too good to be true to Jacob. He simply could not take it in. The news was just simply too wonderful. I'm sure that's the way we felt the night that God saved us. It was just almost impossible to take it in. To think that God was so good to us. To think that God was so forgiving toward us. So merciful toward us. So inclined to mercy, reaching out toward us. It was just more than we can absorb. And I'm sure that you felt as I did, like the words of the old song. It is so wonderful, so marvelous, yet true. But Jacob simply could not accept what he had heard. And the Bible said that his heart fainted within him. But then the Bible said, when Jacob saw the wagons which his son Joseph had sent, the spirit of Jacob revived. So for a while tonight, child of God, I want to speak on the subject, when Jacob saw the wagons. And I want to say that during this camp meeting, God Almighty is going to send some wagons in our midst. There are those among us tonight that are ill in body. There are those among us whose spirits are sagging. There are those among us who are hurting, but God has the wagons ready to send. I want you to get ready because God will send those wagons. He will send the wagon of salvation. He's going to send the wagon of divine healing. He's going to send the wagon of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He's going to send the wagon of the revival of the hope of the second coming of Jesus Christ. God has not called us together merely to twiddle our thumbs and to sit and warm 18 to 24 inches of a pew. He has called us to see His glory. I don't know what you're expecting, but I'm expecting to see the glory of God. I'm expecting to see the power and the blessing of God poured out upon us. I'm expecting men to be saved. I'm expecting the lame to be healed. I'm expecting miracles to take place. I'm expecting God to be glorified. I'm expecting to feel better when I leave than when I came. I'm expecting the power and the blessing of God to come down. And in the words of the old Methodist hymn, I'm expecting that heaven to come down, our souls to greet, and glory crown the mercy seat as God moves through with His mighty wagons. So let's get ready for what God is going to do. Now, I call to your attention, first of all, the record said that Jacob saw the wagons. That is to say, he took in their meaning. In the New Testament, there are two kinds of knowledge. There is knowledge in the sense of the mere perception of a fact. But there is also knowledge in the sense that to understand what those facts represent. And it is the latter case that is involved here. Jacob not only saw the wagons, but Jacob understood what the wagons meant. And there are people like that today. They know that God will do certain things, or they see certain facts which God permits them to observe, but they don't put it together what God is saying. You remember when the disciples, John and Peter, ran into the tomb of the Lord. The Bible said that when Peter ran into the tomb, he stayed. When John came in, he left immediately. And it's very interesting. There are two Greek words to describe their experience. The word where it says that John saw means to see something, taking it in merely as something from the external world, mere cognition. But the Greek word that describes Peter beholding the linen napkin lying there, neatly folded, was that he not only saw, but he put together what he was beholding. God, give us a mind that we can put together what God is doing. There are some people never learn what God is doing. I don't care what God does. I don't care what God says. They never seem to know what God is doing. But I believe that if you and I in this service tonight will let the Spirit of God put together what it is God's saying and what it is God wants to do, then we shall leave touched and blessed and delivered by the power of the Son of the living God. So Jacob put it together. And when he saw those wagons, first of all, he knew there was somebody who was in Egypt. Those wagons didn't just come in by themselves. Somebody sent those wagons. Somebody in Egypt, it dawned on him immediately, was vitally interested in him. And I thank God tonight that you and I come into the presence of one who is vitally interested in us. My Bible said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Friend, God is interested in you. There's no situation of life that He does not find Himself intently interested in your welfare. Whether it's in the little things, whether it's in the big things, God is intently interested in you. I remember a few years ago, I was on an airliner flying from St. Louis, Missouri to Louisville, Kentucky in the United States. And we were assigned at an altitude of 20,000 feet. Suddenly, the plane began to drop down, 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 down. And we continued to plummet down. And I knew something was drastically wrong. And as I was sitting there, I looked at the flight attendant to try to get some consolation. She was as white as a sheet, no help at all. But I thought, something is wrong. I did not know what was happening, but something drastic was occurring. There was an eerie silence in the cabin of that plane. Nobody was crying out, and yet that silence was almost maddening and deafening, if you please, as we continue to go down, down, down. And I'll tell you right now, I began to pray, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Another translation of that says, rolling all your anxieties upon him, for he meddleth with you. Brother, I wanted God to meddle in my affairs about that time. And so I began to pray about the situation. But how did I pray? Now, at that time, I was head of our Assemblies of God denominational seminary in Springfield, Missouri. So did I pray the way the president of a seminary ought to pray? Is this how I prayed? Oh, thou great sovereign despot of this universe, wilt thou not, in this extreme moment of our exigency, vouchsafe unto us all the prodigiousness of the plenitude of thy power? Wilt thou not with celerity extricate us from the deleteriousness of this situation? You think I prayed that way? Honey, I'll tell you how I prayed. I prayed the only way I knew how to pray. I prayed, Lord, help us, Lord, help us, Lord, help us, Lord, help us. That's all I could think of. But I never prayed a better prayer than that. Number one, I knew who needed to help us, Lord. Number two, I knew what was needed, help. Number three, I knew who was needed, us, thank God. And I'm glad that the Lord meddled in my affairs, because somebody was interested in me. Jacob knew that somebody was interested in him, in Jacob. And somebody is interested in you. Not only did Jacob know that somebody was interested in him, but it was exceedingly obvious that that person was interested to him alone or as an individual. Listen, friend, God is interested in all of us collectively. But somebody said, there are days that God had rather hear your prayer than anyone else. I thank God for the collective interest that God has in us. But I thank him equally for the personal interest he has in us. And so it dawned upon Jacob that this person in Egypt was interested in him personally. And that was a source of consolation to Jacob. Then another thing that dawned upon him was that this person was not only interested in him, but was making provision for him. I'm so glad that God has made a provision for you and me. I'm so glad that God has blessed us out of Zion. I'm so glad that we have a Father who has provided for us in the time of need. I thank God that there's a Heavenly Father in this service right now that ministers to you and me individually. I don't think what God has done for us and the blessings he's given has ever been put more graphically than does the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, and I quote, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Him, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be without blame at before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Himself, according to His good pleasure, unto the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might call together everything, both which is in heaven and things which are in earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the counsel of Him who worketh all things according to the purpose of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His grace, who first believed in Christ, in whom ye also believe, after that ye received the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but in the world to come, and hath given Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. End quote. That's who we are. That's what we are in Jesus Christ. And I thank God tonight. Somebody, and His name is God Almighty, is interested in you, a child of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Let's thank Him. He's interested in you and me tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When Jacob saw those wagons, he also knew that his son Joseph was alive. Our heavenly Joseph is alive tonight, child of God. A minister friend of mine was talking to Chuck Colson, who was a member of President Nixon's staff during the time of Watergate. And he asked my minister friend, he said, how do you know the resurrection is true? And my friend just threw the question right back at him. He said, well, how do you know the resurrection is true? And Colson said, I know the resurrection is true because of Watergate. Well, that was a nonplus to my friend. How in the world could Watergate be the proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Yes, he said, Watergate. He said, we had decided to stonewall it. We had decided that nobody would crack, that nobody would admit what we were doing. we had decided that we would keep the facts to ourselves. But he said, finally, there was a crack in our armor, and we could not keep the facts to ourselves. But he said, I think of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Not one of them ever cracked. Not one of them ever changed his testimony. When he said, this man is alive here, he said he was alive over there. Whether it was Thomas in India, wherever it was the disciples went, they never changed their testimony that this man is alive. And so Chuck Colson said, the resurrection has to be true. There is no way that human beings could not keep something back if they were uttering falsehood. There is no possible way that they could have kept saying he's alive if he were not alive. Yes, thank God our Lord is alive tonight. I'm glad that we serve a resurrected Christ. Christ in his resurrection is moving among us to do great and mighty things in this service tonight. The Bible said, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint him with oil. Pray over him in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall what? Resurrect him. Every time we're healed by the power of God, that is just a little touch of the actual resurrection power that brought Jesus Christ out of the grave. That is just a little touch of the actual power that one day shall rip the graves asunder when our Lord returns to this earth again. Jesus Christ is alive. Many times we don't act as if he's alive. We act as if he's 1,000 miles away. But I want to tell you afresh, he's alive. And it's still true that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's true as it ever was that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the call according to his purpose. It's still true that if God be for us, who can be against us? Because our Christ is not a tenant in some mausoleum tonight. I'm glad that his body is not in some crypt. I'm glad that his body is not lying under the Syrian stars. But I'm glad that that body has been resurrected, and at the Father's right hand, he's alive forevermore and has all authority in heaven and in earth. Thank God he's alive. Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. I went to a funeral in Springfield, Missouri in 1952. Very unusual funeral. And I still remember as we stood and began to sing the old song of solace, death hath no terror for the blood-bought one. Oh, glory, hallelujah to the Lamb. Jesus rose from the dead, rose triumphant as he said, snatched the victory from the grave, rose again our souls to save. Oh, glory, hallelujah to the Lamb. People by the hundreds lifted their hands and began to praise God right in that funeral. You say, how could people have been so ebullient in a funeral? I'll tell you why. Though we knew that the earthly tent of our beloved General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God, Wesley R. Steelberg, had been folded, and though we knew the cavernous jaws of that cemetery in Springfield was ready to claim his body, yet we were conscious of the fact that one day the trump of God is going to sound, and the dead are going to hear the voice of the Son of God and live. And Wesley Steelberg shall live forever. Hallelujah. Our blessed Savior is alive. And because he is alive, he sends us his Spirit. Because he is alive, he sends down his presence. Because he is alive, he sends the wagons in our midst. I thank God tonight that the wagon of salvation is moving already in this camp meeting. If you're here tonight and don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, if you're someone that presses that pillow at night, knowing that if death should come before the break of dawn, you would make your bed in hell. I have good news for you. The wagons of God are rolling through this camp meeting tonight, and salvation is available for you. God loves you, and his Son died to save you. You can be saved. I praise God for that. I still remember the words of the Apostle Paul when he said, "And last of all, he appeared unto me also as one born out of due time." The Greek word there is ekchroma, which means a dead fetus. He said, when Jesus Christ appeared to me, it was as if he appeared spiritually to a dead fetus. I was a spiritual dead fetus, and I had nothing in me that would possibly warrant his forgiveness. But Paul said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, for his grace toward me was not in vain." Hear me, child of God. Hear me, sinner friend, tonight. God's grace is available for you as God's wagon of salvation rolls through here tonight. I want to say the wagon of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is rolling through this service tonight. The Bible said, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." If you are saved by the blood of the Lamb, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "Don't you preach one sermon. Don't you go out and try to reach the world until you are filled with the Spirit of God." God wants every one of you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's the promise he made to his Son. God Almighty promised his Son that he would baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And you in this service and during this camp meeting, I want you to open every avenue of your soul to God and be filled with the Spirit, for the wagon of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is flowing through this service tonight. May I say, thirdly, that the wagon of the hope of the second coming of Jesus Christ is flowing through this service. My Bible said, Jacob prophesied, said that the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh come, for unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Malachi said, "And unto them that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings." Jesus Christ said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And ladies and gentlemen, it said he went to prepare a place for us. It didn't say that he went to prepare a metaphor for us. It didn't say that he went to prepare symbolism for us. It said he went to prepare a place for us. I want to tell you, if he went anywhere, he must have gone somewhere. And if he went somewhere, he surely didn't go nowhere. Hallelujah. He went to prepare a place for you and me. Thank God. And we have the promise that our Lord is coming again. Bible said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We've never seen him in this life as he really is. We've seen him through his word. We've seen him through communion, but we've not seen him as he actually is. When for the first time we see him as he actually is, we shall be like him. You know, this 20th century has been utterly amazing. For the first time in the history of the human race, the five senses can now be crossed. This was never possible before the 20th century. We can now actually see sound, and we can now hear sight. There are machines that can pick up the musical vibrations coming off the stars. When a jet pilot goes into Mach 2, he can look off the tip of his wing and actually see the waves of sound bouncing over that wing. This is the first time in the history of the human race that we've been able to see sound. Now, what did Jesus say? He said that when he comes, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Paul said, "Behold, I show unto you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." He did not say, like it's quoted often, "in the blinking of an eye." He said, "in the twinkling of an eye." Brother and Mrs. Brown can shoot a twinkle in my eye at me in a hurry. It's much faster than eyes blinking. In the twinkling of an eye. Now the Bible says we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. How? In a moment. That word moment is from the Greek word atomo. It's the word atom. In an atom of time. In other words, when the Son of God returns and the Spirit of God quickens our bodies, we're going to be changed in an atom of time. And I submit unto you, ladies and gentlemen, that if a jet pilot can look out from his cockpit and look over the tip of his wing and actually see that which is invisible, how much more because of the speed whereby the Spirit of God will change our mortality into immortality, it will happen so quickly that he who now is visible will become visible. Hallelujah. For we shall see him as he is. Thank God. The hope of the second coming is moving through this service tonight. That wagon is rolling. And finally, the wagon of divine healing is rolling through this service in these moments. I thank God for those times when hands are laid upon us in accordance with scriptures and we're healed by God's power. I thank God for those times when our brothers or our sisters, fellow believers in Christ, pray for us and we're healed by God's power. But I thank God equally in those seasons of the soul when we've reached physically the end of our tether, that Jesus Christ himself appears and sends his wagon of healing and sets us free. One of God's choice saints was dying of cancer of the colon, Sister Smith of Kansas City, Missouri. The disease was terminal. It wasn't if she would die, it was when she would die. For several years, she just continued to waste away, her body consumed by that vicious attack. She became totally paralyzed She was only a shadow physically of her former self. One Saturday evening, she said to her husband and her boys, "I'm so tired of lying in the same bed day in and day out." She said, "Would you take me into the living room and place me on the sofa? I think it might make me feel better." Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Son of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God and the Lamb forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Son of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Pastor Emler to come. That old song is handy, Pastor. Would you lead us in? Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. And while he does, while the wagons of God are coming through tonight, you need to get on board. Hear me. Joseph's sons could control Joseph's coat, but they could not control the wagons. Hallelujah. Your enemies cannot control you. Hell cannot control you. You are a child of God. He that is born of God overcometh the world, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Praise God. There is victory tonight in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. Praise the Lord. Now listen, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? There are men and women, boys and girls here tonight who need to get right with God. You're headed for hell. You have no hope beyond this veil of mortal tears. But the wagon of salvation is coming through in this hour. God loves you, friend. God wants you to go to heaven. Jesus died that you might be saved. He shed his blood on Golgotha that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I want every man, every woman, boy or girl that's here without Christ, and do you want to get on this wagon of salvation that's coming through tonight? You want to leave this service the happiest person in the nation of Canada because you're born again and you're now a child of God and your fears are gone and peace has flooded your soul. While we sing the first verse, I want you that need Christ to start coming down every aisle, and I want to lead you in a simple sinner's prayer to help you get to God tonight. Come on, friends, if your sins need forgiving, you come right now as we sing the first verse.
Not,
just come along.
Savior,
Jesus loves you. Jesus will help you tonight. You come. Sins forgiven. You come. If you want God to forgive your sins, you come right now.
Now, while the wagons of God are coming through tonight, in just a moment we'll sing another verse. I want you who know Christ, but who need healing for your body. I want you who need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I want you who have problems that only God can solve. You that may be hurting and you want the balm of Gilead to be applied to your spirit, your soul, and your body tonight, I'm going to ask you to come. Every child of God, you want something from God, and you believe somebody has been thinking about you. Somebody has been making provision for you. His name is Jesus Christ, and I want you to come and receive his bodily healing, his spiritual healing. I want you to come and receive his empowerment of the Holy Spirit, or whatever your needs are. Let's all come if we have needs tonight. Come along as Pastor Embler leads us on the next chorus. You come right now. That's right. God bless you.
At thy throne of mercy.
Yes, they're coming. Yes. Yes, we have needs. The wagons of God are coming through tonight.
Kneeling there. Oh,
yes.
Kneeling there in deep contrition. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Oh, Savior, Savior.
Hallelujah.
My humble cry. All others darkly
as we sing one more verse, I want all of our ministers to come and assist us tonight. There are people here that are hurting. There are people here that have a multiplicity of needs, and we want to minister to them. I want you brothers and sisters to just come, mingle among them, lay your hands on them, pray for God to heal our friends, pray for God to solve their problems, meet that financial crisis, whatever it is, God's wagon is coming through. I want you to get aboard, child of God. It was sent especially for you tonight. That somebody at the right hand of the Father.